Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And you're going to be glad you stayed with us today because our good buddy Ken Davis is back with us. Ken is, he's a don't know much about guy, isn't he? Yeah, he's the guy that wrote all the books on don't know much about history. That was the one that sold something under a billion copies galactically, and he's written numbers of other books, I guess a dozen or so, other books on that sort of thing. Don't know much about mythology. His brand spanking new book is called America's Hidden History. And it's outstanding, as they all are. And he's here to talk to us about election history. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always a pleasure. And I'm here to say that our long national nightmare is almost over.
Boy, did you hit that on the head. I don't care what political persuasion you are. You got to be feeling that way right now, don't you?
Well, you know, I always look at England or Israel or so these other countries with parliamentary style elections. You know, they call election and 6 weeks later it's over and done with. And
mercifully, it's over, right?
I guess the only people who really like it are the people who sell media advertising.
Right. Which, by the way, for the record, I don't sell. Maybe I'm missing a boat there, Ken. Maybe I should be focusing on. You know, around the first week of January, during the first week of January. You know, I'm not too smart, but I've been around a while, and so I've learned a few things, and I looked at it over 2008, and I told my audience, and if some of them will remember, I actually have the records, I have the archives to prove that I said this. I said, ladies and gentlemen, in 2008, with regard to the economy and politics, we will live the Chinese curse of may you live in interesting times.
And Ken, I've
made a lot of predictions that didn't come true, but that wasn't one of them. That was as close as I've ever been, because this has been the most interesting year and using interesting as the Chinese did it in their curse. This has been the most interesting year of my lifetime. What about you?
Well, from a historian's perspective, specifically in terms of historical presidential politics and presidential history, there's no question about it, because no matter which way it ends up, and no matter which way you'd like it to end up, we're going to make history.
It's already been made, hasn't it?
Today, and it has already been made. You know, I have to be honest myself and go back and just the opposite. Go back, you know, 8 or 10 years, and I routinely would ask or be asked, you know, what's it going to? Are we going to have a black president or a woman president first? And I was very, very skeptical that this country could get this far in terms of the racial context of this nomination, setting aside all other factors of ideology and politics and party. So, you know, in a certain way, you know, you think back and you know, we've come an awfully long way in 50 years. Some people would say we haven't come far enough. Some people say we still have a long way to go. I actually thought it would be a woman first, but for this reason, from strictly a historical perspective, most presidents have come from the ranks of governors.
Right.
And I actually thought a woman governor would emerge eventually and become the first woman president. And I was, you know, just basing that on the history. So, it has been a wild, I wished I could say a wild year, but, you know, we've been doing this for 2 years now.
That's right. Really, we have. You know, Ken,
enough is enough.
Five and a half years or so ago, I think it was February of 2003, I was at a conference in Florida. And it was a women's conference. There were about 1,000 women and me. I was like the guy. I was the legitimizer of the whole thing. And so,
that's called a token.
That was the token, right? Well, no, they couldn't. You know, they had to have me as, you know, to be that's politically correct. But anyway, there really were 1,000 women there, and Hillary Clinton spoke at that group. And she seduced the audience. She basically, in some ways, I guess you could say she seduced me, because I was so impressed with her and what and how she spoke, how she delivered a message, the way she conducted herself. And I, she wasn't running for office then, for president then, but she was. She was not admitting it. Of course she was, but she wasn't admitting it. But she did admit to getting women registered to vote. And she made that case. And I, after hearing her speak and seeing how much she had changed from her 1992 persona, I turned to my wife and I said, in 2008, the Republicans will have a woman on the ticket.
Well, you were right there, Jim, once again.
Well, the only thing is, though, is I thought
Nostradamus.
I thought she would be on the head of the at the head of the Democrat ticket.
Yeah.
And I'm still surprised that didn't happen. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the history of elections, ladies and gentlemen. 20 till, Ken Davis is our guest. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Kenneth C. Davis. That's the name on the books that you find wherever books are sold. Don't know much about history, and the brand new one, American's Hidden History. Ken, this is a beautiful book, the new one.
It is a beautiful book. I'm very pleased. It comes from the Smithsonian books, and they're, of course, a great American institution. But I was very proud and happy about this book, which actually includes a whole chapter about the creation of the Constitution, and specifically the man who invented the Electoral College, which I suppose is a subject we might want to touch on.
I would like for you to talk to us about that. Tell us about the history of the Electoral College and what it is.
It really goes back, just to refresh everybody quickly here, of course, independence in 1776 with the Declaration, and then 8 years of war and 11 years under something called the Articles of Confederation, which was a lousy way to run a nation.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in 1786, 1787 is that a bunch of farmers in western Massachusetts were losing their homes, foreclosures, debts, bad mortgages, crops were failing, taxes were too high. And
the government wouldn't bail them out, would they?
And there was no the government was, it was worse than not bailing them out. They saw the government as their enemy. And the government was the bankers and the lawyers in Boston, and here was
some things haven't changed, have they, over the 200
some
years?
Some things never do change, Jim. Exactly. What happened was that these farmers in western Massachusetts picked up guns and were threatening to bring down the state of Massachusetts. George Washington was watching this from afar. James Madison was watching this from afar. They were horrified. Everything they had worked for to create this new nation was coming apart at the seams, largely because of economic difficulty. So it is a great way to say that history does, we can learn from history. And it was, this was called Shays' Rebellion. It was essentially put down eventually by militiamen paid for by the government back in Boston. But it was really the crisis moment that forced the Constitutional Convention to come together in Philadelphia in the summer of 1787, and that's where they, of course, created our system of government primarily as it exists today. We've had a few changes, but part of the deal was how to elect this executive. How is the president going to be elected? And quite honestly, they knew Washington was going to be first. They didn't they couldn't see past that. They didn't have political parties then, so they weren't thinking about how
they didn't even like political parties, did they?
Washington warned against them. Jefferson was against them, but they soon became the natural order of things in America. But they came up with a compromise system because nobody wanted direct election of the president. They thought it was too powerful.
The populace couldn't be trusted with that kind of a decision.
Well, they had seen a mob in Massachusetts threaten democracy, the nation, and they thought that democracy, pure democracy, was really one short step away from mob rule.
But there was an element of elitism in this decision, too.
Oh, completely, and that's why I kind of laugh when I hear all this stuff about elitists today. I mean, the people who created this country were the most elite group in American history. I mean, they were the wealthiest, most educated people. people in America at that time.
And they didn't even live in the Upper East Side of New York either, did they?
No, they didn't. They lived on big plantations in Virginia and South Carolina. Right. Well, John Adams was, pretty modest. He was one of those Puritan stock people.
Right.
He didn't, he lived a pretty simple life. And Ben Franklin, of course, always preached modesty in many things, but not everything. It speaks to the sort of mythology of how we look back at these founding fathers, the framers of the Constitution, and think that they were, great champions of democracy. They didn't especially like pure democracy. They believed in republic. They thought the president should be elected by the state legislatures, which is how senators were elected in that time.
Until the 20th century.
That's right. We changed that the Constitution to have direct election of senators. Every step along the way, by the way, and it's an important point, has opened the electoral process up since 1787. The changing who could vote, ages, allowing women to vote finally in the 20th century. But it's important to realize that this electoral college system was really meant to be a sort of safety valve on too much democracy.
Mm-hmm.
These guys said Washington will be the first, but we don't know what will come after that. So let's set up a system where it almost certainly will be a choice then that's made in the House of Representatives, which is where the first real contested election ended up. Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr, ostensibly from the same party because of the system back then, were running together, but they ended up in a tie, and it goes to the House of Representatives, 30 votes. Finally, Alexander Hamilton, who hated both of them, Jefferson and Aaron Burr, throws his weight behind Jefferson because he didn't like Jefferson, but he detested Aaron Burr. So so that was the hard-knuckle politics back then.
We think politics ain't being bagged now. It was even worse then, wasn't it?
Anyone who thinks that it was the good old days where people in white powdered wigs and frock coats debated high ideals is really losing.
And of course, I've seen the pistols that Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton dueled with.
That's right. I believe that they're at the
1804.
I believe the Chase Manhattan Bank owns them somehow.
I saw those in the Alexander Hamilton exhibit a few years ago in New York City. And did you know this, Ken? Did you know that 2 years prior to that, the same weapons were used by Hamilton's son in a duel, and he was killed as well?
That's right. Hamilton's son was killed in a duel, and he was very opposed to dueling.
With the same weapons.
It was an affair of honor, and that was a real issue. Talk about presidents and dueling. Andrew Jackson killed men in duels. He
Folks,
was called
we live
a murderer
in, we,
during the
we
campaign.
We live in civil times compared to, but it still is pretty obnoxious, though, the times we live in, the political times we live in. Stay with us. 10 till. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. It's Election Day in America, ladies and gentlemen. 2008. It's a great day in history. It's a great day for Americans, regardless of your political persuasion, regardless of who wins or loses, regardless of how the election turns out. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing that is happening today. Ken Davis is with us. Can't imagine anybody else spending some time with us on this day. Ken is the author of America's Hidden History, which is his new book, but his foundation book, the book that we all know about, is his book, Don't Know Much About History. Ken, tell us where they're available, please.
The books are available in most local bookstores, certainly from the online stores like Amazon and BarnesNoble.com. I have a website, don'tknowmuch.com, where you can find out more about my books, and it links to some of the places you can buy them, but they're in the local bookstores as well. And I just want to say
Let me say one thing, Ken. Folks, America's Hidden History is not only an outstanding book inside the pages, the cover is beautiful. You don't have to even wrap this book. Buy two or three. Don't buy one more than you think you're going to give away because you're going to want to keep one. I'm telling you, this is a book you don't even have to wrap. Just hand it to them as it is, and it's beautiful inside and out. Ken, congratulations on that book.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to follow up on what you were saying about Election Day. We throw this notion around. People say, well, my vote doesn't count. We know that there have been irregularities and different things over the years, but this is something I believe in my heart, that every vote does count. So no matter how you feel or who
it
you're
counts,
candidate.
Even if it doesn't count, if you live in a red state or a blue state and it's going that way and there's nothing anybody can do about it, you know, just the fact that you had the privilege, the right to be able to go and do that. Ken, this election thing, how many people around the world would love to have what we have on this day?
To believe
that the outcome will be decided properly, the winner will take office, and the rest of the world, even the loyal opposition will get behind the government, but it all comes back to the people, Ken, because presidents come and go, but Americans are what make this country great.
Well, that's why it said "We the People" at the beginning of that document
yeah.
they wrote
yeah.
back in 1776. I'm sorry, 1787. I'm confusing my dates now, but it is "We the People," and then Lincoln said it too: "A government by, for, and of the people." And if you value that idea, then you value your vote. Yeah, even though you might think you're in the reddest of states or the bluest of states, and what you do doesn't matter. Every vote does matter, and I believe that in my heart.
Well, you know, Ken, something happened a couple of months ago that really excited me, and it wasn't just the issue. It wasn't the issue. It was what the response to the issue was. When the government was considering the rescue/bailout.
Of these
financial prices, the $700 billion thing that they were debating, Americans in an unprecedented, best I can tell, Ken, in an unprecedented way, called in, emailed in, voiced their opposition to that bill. Never mind the issue. I'm talking about the response to any issue. I've never seen Americans respond as they did to that issue. That made me very happy. Even if I had disagreed with Americans on that, which I didn't, but even if I had, I would still have been proud of Americans on that day.
It was a great example of the people's voice being heard, and loud and clear it was. And of course, you know, we still have a long way to go with that respect. But I agree with you completely. You know, that was the voice of the people being heard loud and clear in Washington D.C. and in capitals and offices
yep.
Around the country. So that was democracy in action.
I've got another prediction
to make.
Whether
you like it or not, with the way it came down.
I got another prediction to make. And within our lifetime, Ken, and you're about my age, in our lifetime, there will be we already have the technology available, but somebody will develop the technology that will allow the Americans to let their member of Congress know and the president know how they feel about various issues, and we'll be able, and they may not vote the way their constituents tell them, but at least they'll know, and it'll be easy for us to do, and I think that's going to be a good thing.
Well, you know, it exists to a large degree already. I mean, it's much easier now to get on your computer and email something to your to your congressman than it used to be.
You have to write
a letter and stick a stamp on it, and that took a little effort.
But that'll be rudimentary compared to, I believe, what we'll have in the 5 or 10 years from now.
Well, I think that's the beauty of the technology that we're looking at.
Yeah, it is.
And,
Kenneth C. Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Ken, I got to wrap it up. America's Hidden History is the book. Thanks, Ken, for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Guy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, see ya. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.